Okay, good evening. Thank you, Rabbi Fine, for inviting me. Really, really great to be here. Is Neil here? It's my cousin. Is she here? Whoa. She's coming. Okay. All right. Tough start. Okay, she's coming. Nice to see everybody. Really, a real schuss. And always so admired Rabbi Fine. You look on the wall, the opportunities here. It's bustling. It's incredible. It's special. Really a real beautiful Makom Torah. Chodesh Tov, last few minutes to say Chodesh Tov, which means Pesach is around the corner. Less than 2 weeks, we're going to be blessed to have the Haggadah, blessed to have the Seder, the Yontif of Pesach, and we're getting ready. So I want to spend the next few moments. Is there an echo? Nobody here? No, we're good? Okay. We're going to spend the next few moments getting ready. Getting into that zone, getting into the mindset of Pesach, takes us to source number one. This comes from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, at the very beginning. Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nivonim. Even if we're all very wise, very sage-like, very understanding, kulanu zikanim, very elderly, kulanu yodim et haTorah, we know the Torah, well-versed, even if an individual knows the story, he's been hearing it since preschool, knows the ins and the outs, the multiple layers, mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'siyas Mitzrayim. We still have a commandment to talk about Yisiyas Mitzrayim. We're still obligated. A very beautiful beginning of our Haggadah Shel Pesach. V'chol amarbel l'saper b'siyas Mitzrayim. And the more we increase, the more we continue to build and discuss and converse in this beautiful topic, harezim meshubach. It's praiseworthy, it's incredible. We see from this Haggadah, we're constantly charged with to further our knowledge, further our understanding, never be satisfied with what we knew the year prior. I want more, I want to know more, develop more, never rest on our laurels. And Rabbi Sacher Fran, the great Rosh Yeshiva Nei Yisrael, explains, this attitude, this mentality, potentially spurred the process of Yisiyas Mitzrayim. It was at the beginning of this that started it all. Oh, there she is. Hi. I didn't make it up, okay? The beginning of Yisiyas Mitzrayim. He says as follows. This thirst for knowledge was the precursor to the elevation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we go to source 2. Vayomer Moshe Asurna Ve'eret Amar HaGadol Hazeh. This is Moshe Rabbeinu seeing the burning bush. He says, let me turn aside. Let me see this beautiful, beautiful vision. Madu lo yivarasna. He was very perplexed. Why isn't the bush burning up? What's going on? I see a fire, but the bush is not being consumed. Pasuk Dalet. Vayar Hashem kisar lerot. Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu deviated to look. Vayikra lav elohim mitoch asna. Hashem called to him from the midst of the bush. Vayomer Moshe, Moshe, vayomer hineni. And Moshe says, hineni, I'm ready to go. So the question is, what did he do to merit this divine revelation? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? What steps did he take? He's now going to become the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael. This is the beginning. This is it. It's very exciting. What did he do? Source number 3, the beautiful Yalkut Shimoni tells us, Vayomer Moshe Asur Na Vere. Let me turn and see. So what was the steps that he took? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shalosh Psios Pasa Moshe. What did he do? He took 3 steps. He took 3 steps in the direction of the burning bush. Reish Lakish, his brother-in-law, Amar Lopasa, he didn't even move. Ela Savarari Akam. What did he do? He craned his neck. He turned around, fidgeted a little to see the burning bush. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, Nitzar to Lerot, you pained yourself to see, Chayecha Shagaleh Alecha Miyad. Shagaleh Alecha Miyad. I'm going to reveal myself to you right now. Moshe Rabbeinu, you put in the effort, you are now going to have divine revelation. This is now the beginning of the Gula. This is what he is determined as our leader, and he gets the marching orders to go down to Mitzrayim to redeem our beloved nation. So the question is, what did he do? He takes 3 steps forward, he cranes his neck, and that's what allows him to merit divine revelation? That's incredible. Sign me up, that sounds wonderful. Says Rav Zimcha Sissel Broyd, the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva Schever in Yerushalayim, something very, very beautiful. What is our success in Yiddishkeit based on? What is it all about? It's having that thirst for knowledge. A lifelong thirst and passion for knowledge and for spiritual growth. Moshe Rabbeinu at this time is 80 years old. Accomplished a lot in his lifetime. 80 years old! I've seen it all. I've done it all. I've been successful. Time to move on. He didn't have that attitude. Moshe Rabbeinu did not rest on his laurels. I might be 80 years old. I might have accomplished a lot, but I still need to grow. I still need to develop. I still need to push myself. I still need to be thirsty, really hungry for spiritual growth and development. And because he had that attitude, because Moshe Rabbeinu had that mentality, he was zoche for divine revelation. The Medrash says, there were other shepherds at the spot. There were other shepherds in the location. They didn't even bother to turn around their necks. But Moshe Rabbeinu was different. He had that thirst for knowledge, that thirst for growth. He was zoche to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, zoche to have that divine revelation. An incredible role model for each and every one of us. And that, says Rabbi Frand, is what spurred our entire story. That thirst for knowledge is the precursor of the entire Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we see this idea as well. Source number 4, get a little more Hasidic. Lekutei Sichos, none other than Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe, a beautiful, beautiful Vortalach, explained the difference between the dreams of Yosef and Parah. So look inside source number 4, please. Kiyam Avdel Klali Ben Chalamos Paro. There's a big, great difference between the dreams of Paro, HaMusoparim B'Parsha, Tenu, that are told in our Parsha, L'Chalamos Yosef B'Parsha Tzveyeshev. Difference of dreams between Paro's dreams and Yosef's dreams. A fundamental difference, says the Rebbe. Chalamos Yosef Hein B'Seder Ole. The dreams of Yosef, they go up. They ascend. Mosi Faholech. They're continuing. They're going on. I'm in source 4 now, that second paragraph. Hachaloma rishom osik binyanim artzim. The first dream dealt with earthly existence. Vehine anachnu malamim alumim betoch hasadeh. They were sheaves in the middle of the field. It was the sheaves, the grain. That was his first dream. He told all the brothers were bundles of sheaves and bow down to him. Vilo chaloma sheni. What was his second dream? Osik binyanim shemayim. The celestial forces. Now they increase, they ascend. They go from these ears of grain to now the celestial forces. In Yanei Shemayim, Hashemesh Vayarech Vacharaser Kochavim. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. That was the trajectory of Yosef's dreams. It's about ears of grain, the first one, but a Jew has to increase. A Jew has to develop. The next dream was about the celestial forces. In Yanei Shemayim. An incredible jump, beautiful upward motion. Chalamos Paro idach, but Paro ever had an opposite direction. Heim b'sei de yore, he went down, descending order, pochei v'holech, minimizing, going down. Hachalom harishon osek b'paros. The first dream dealt with the cows. Hashayich l'suga chai, that was the animal kingdom, they were alive, those were the cows. V'ilu hachalom hasheni, but the second dream, osek b'shibulim. And now he's dealing with the grain. Hashaychus l'suk ha-someach ha-machus yotir. To the plant life, the lower level. It started with the animal kingdom, and then went down to the plant life. Paro's dreams were going in a descending fashion. Beautiful, creative idea, Lubavitcher Rebbe. So we obviously have to emulate the dreams of Yosef, to go up. V'lozu b'lvah, the last paragraph. Ela shigam tokno shakol cholom b'fnei atzmo hu b'seder shel yirida. The dreams themselves of Paro, the very essence of the dreams, they were going down. Techila sheva paros yafos mara brios basar. The cows at the beginning were very beautiful and robust. V'achar mikan ros mara v'dakos basar. Afterwards, they were very ugly of appearance, emaciated flesh. Techila shibolim brios v'tovos. The beginning, the ears of grain were nice, beautiful, fleshy, and wonderful. Acharem dakos v'shudafos kadim. And afterwards, thin and scorched by the wind. Said the Rebbe, beautiful, beautiful Yisod. Paro's dreams went down and down. They went down by the start with fleshy and robust to very emaciated. They went down. Yosef, conversely, went up. He first was dreaming of the grain, and then he went to the celestial forces. Our dreams in life have to ascend. They have to develop. They have to be in an upward motion. We have to always be thirsty for greater dreams, higher aspirations, higher she'ifos in life. What I dreamed of yesterday should be better today. What I dreamed of a few years ago, better today. What I dreamed of the beginning of the year should be different than today. Our dreams have to be in ascending fashion. So always ask ourselves the question, do I still have that passion, that desire, that driving force? And if it's lost, to refuel myself, to have that pintle yid come alive again. To constantly ask ourselves, are my dreams going up? Are they going in a healthy upward motion? And we see the same thing in source number 5. We see the same thing in source number 5. Vayachalom v'nei sula mutzav arsa v'roshu magia shemaima v'nei malachi alim olim v'yordim bo. Anybody know what this is talking about? Are we allowed to do participation here? It's not like that. It's like that? Okay. Does anybody know what source 5 is talking about? Who said it? All right, Yaakov. Very good. Yaakov Avinu. And where is this happening? What? When he's what? Sleeping. When he's sleeping. Yeah, but what's the context? He is sleeping, that's true. But what's the context? He's going to what? Okay, soon. Okay. He's leaving. You're good. He's leaving Esav, right? At this point, he's the fugitive. He's leaving Esav. Very good. He's leaving Esav. He's the fugitive running away. Because he took the Bechor Bracha from his twin brother. His brother's irate. And now he's on this journey. Vayachalom v'nei sulam mutzav arsha v'rosha magia shemaima. Yaakov Avinu, as this fugitive, what is he dreaming? The ladder is towards the earth. The top is towards shemaim. V'nei malachei alim olim v'yordim bo. This is the famous dream of the angels going up and down, up and down. Beautiful. This is Yaakov Avinu's dreams at the very, very beginning of his journey. Now we go, let's turn the page to source number 6. This is a little harder. Anybody know what's happening here? This context. Anybody know 6? Any brave souls? Anybody alive? Neely! I told you she exists. Yes. Right. And what's happening here? Right. Okay, good. Very good. Beautiful. We planned this. Okay. So source number 6. Look inside, please. This is his conversation that he has with Rachel and Leah. He's had enough. I'm on source 6. He's fed up. It's been tiresome. He's been tricked. He's been manipulated. He's had everything go wrong. He's had enough. He wants to leave. And this is the conversation that he has with his beloved wives. And this is what he tells them. Source number 6. Perek Laman Al Pasuk Yud. Vayhi be'et yachei matzom. He says, at the mating time of the flock, ve'asainai ve'rei bechalom. I lifted my eyes and I saw in a dream. V'inei ha'atudim ha'olim ha'latzom. The he-goats that were mounted on the flock. Akudim, nikudim, brudim. There were rings, speckled and checkered. Vayomer elai malach Elohim b'chalom. And a malach Elohim said to me in a dream, Yaakov, vayomar, hineini. I said, here I am, Yud Beis. Vayomer sa nainecha. He said, lift up your eyes, or ray, kol atudim alim alatzon. All the goats mounting the flock, pasuk Yud Beis. Akudim, nikudim, brudim. Rings, speckled and checkered. Kiraiti kol asher Laban oselach. I saw everything Laban did to you. Anochi Yud Gimel, Anochi Ael Betel, I am Hashem Betel, Asher Mashach Tosham Matzeva, where you anointed that pillar, Asher Nadarti Lisham Neder, where you took that Neder, Ata now Kum Seim Min Haaretz Hazot, leave this land, V'shuv El Haaretz Molaratecha, go back to your birthplace. Fascinating. I heard from Rabbi Berg. Rabbi Berg is the CEO of Aish, Rabbi Steven Berg, a beautiful pshat on this episode. What was the angel telling Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu. When you started your journey, what were you dreaming about? You're dreaming about the angels. You're dreaming about the malachim. You're dreaming about angels going up and down, these celestial forces, these malachi kodesh. Now you're dreaming about sheep? Now your dreams are about sheep? What happened to that incredible dreams of angels? The beauty, the glamour, it was incredible. Now it's sheep, time to go home. It's time to go home. It's time to go back to your roots. Time to press the reset button, recalibrate, turn around the train, get back in motion. Get it back together. The dreams can't be of angels and now of sheep. It's time to start over. And again, that very powerful message. maybe in seminary, or I don't know how old you are, maybe in seminary you had certain dreams. We should build off them. We should build off those dreams to continue them and make sure that they come into reality. And to make sure that I'm always asking myself, am I working on myself? Am I improving? Am I ensuring that I'm creating the best version of myself? And not just living, chas v'shalom, a robotic life, a life of just in and out. But to ask, what do I do? Are those dreams going in an ascending fashion? Did I have these massive, beautiful dreams in Sem, and now I don't dream at all, chas v'shalom? Then the angel's telling all of us, time to go back home, time to press the reset button, time to recalibrate, time to look deep inside ourselves and ask, what are my dreams today? And these are, of course, in college, foundational time, formational time, building up our lives and families and a future ahead. To really ask, where are the dreams today? And we look at source number 7. This comes from the Evan Shlema. Does anybody know who wrote the Evan Shlema? That's a little... Any Evan Shlema? Not all at once. Any Evan Shlema? No? Okay. The Evan Shlema was written by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, one of the great geniuses of the last couple hundred years. He writes something very, very beautifully. Im ein adam mishtadel alot tamid maila maila. If a person doesn't try, this is so beautiful, underline this, hang it up in the dorm rooms, this is beautiful. If a person doesn't try to ascend constantly, al karcho yare mata mata, the pull of gravity, we're going to be pulled down. If we're not actively taking steps to grow and to develop in our own way, in our own sincere way, we will go down. It's the force of gravity. We can't say, I'll be the same. We're going up or we're going down. The great genius Vilna Gaon taught us that. And I'm sure many of us experience this all the time. If we're not putting in the work, the grind, the effort, and the investment to go up, unfortunately, that pull of gravity is strong. It will bring us down. And again, as this Yom Tov of Pesach is approaching us, always a good time for reflection, for areas of growth, in the three elements of life. And our Ben Adam La'atzmo, between ourselves, always asking ourselves, am I living an authentic life? Am I living a sincere life? Am I really living up to the best version of myself? But Adam L'chavero, we always have areas to improve in how we treat people. Are our midos up to page? Are we making sure that we're exhibiting the proper midos tovos, proper kavod and dignity to others? And of course, Ben Adam L'makom, our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, Avinu Shebashamayim, who loves us so much, asking, am I really improving my avodas Hashem? Am I adding logs to the flame to ensure that it keeps going? And everybody has their own list. What I want to work on for our second half of this year is perhaps something universal that we could all work on. Perhaps something universal that we could all work on, that we all could take some steps forward. And it comes from the beautiful story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Source number 8. Your forefathers in Mitzrayim, they didn't comprehend your ways. Lo zachru et rov chasadecha, they didn't remember your great kindness. Vayemaru al hayam biyam suf, which shows that they rebelled twice, on the yam and the yam suf. So that's the pasuk in Tehillim. When we're leaving Mitzrayim, when we're at the cusp of this great momentous occasion, we rebel twice, at the sea and in the sea. Look, please, at source number 9 from the Shmos Rabbah. Vaymaru alayam bayamsuf. And Chazal picks up beautifully in this pasuk in Tehillim. Mau shnei pamim. What are these two times? Ela alayam himru. So the first one. When did they rebel? Shaloyu rotzim leyared. They didn't want to go in. They didn't have the emuna. Everybody was hesitant to take that plunge to go in. Ilulei Shevet Yehuda Shekavat Tchila, had it not been for the tribe of Yehuda to jump in first, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, V'kadosh Shemo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, who sanctified Hashem's name. That was our first rebellion. The Jews get to the cusp, to the shore. We don't want to go in. We're supposed to go in. We're nervous. We're reluctant. We're hesitant. Nachshon Ben Aminadav, Shevet Yehuda, he saves the day, he takes the plunge, and we all follow. It's an interesting shir by itself. But what was the rebellion in the Yam Suf? Uvi Yam Suf minayin shemaru. Where do we know that they rebelled in the sea? Ella, shekevin shiardu l'toch hayam hayam maletit. Now, when they got into the sea, it was very dirty. It was very, very muddy. Could you imagine? You had a whole sea, and it splits. It's an all the bottom, all the mud. It's beautiful. Now it's very, very muddy. And fascinating medrash. Fascinating medrash. Reuven says to Shimon, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. In Egypt, we had to deal with mud, and now we have to deal with mud. In Egypt, we had to fashion bricks out of mud, and now I have to walk through the mud. Oh, they, this is horrible. That was the rebellion in the Yamsuf. So again, back to Rabbi Friend. Oh, he's great. Back to Rabbi Friend. He says, imagine this scenario. The Jewish people are enslaved for 210 years. Terrible oppression, bitter slavery, abuse, attempted genocide against us. Terrible conditions. Our entire existence was brought into a real reality check. It was horrible. That's what we were holding for 210 years. Then we have these incredible makos, which decimate the Egyptian society and population. And we see these incredible miracles of Hashem. We leave Mitzrayim. We finally get to the Yamsuf. And a raging sea is in front of us. The elite Egyptian chariots are behind us, waiting to end our freedom with an annihilation of the Jewish people. So the raging sea is in front of us. We're with our family, men, women, children, and elderly. We're standing at the sea. The Egyptians are there with their swords drawn, ready to kill us. The sea splits, and we're saved. Imagine hearing the guy next to you, or the lady next to you saying, oh my goodness, my shoe's getting dirty. My shoe's getting muddy. So we might chuckle, we might smile, but the reality is, we all know people that would have a similar reaction. We all know people that going through Kiryas Yamsuf would complain. And what's the deeper message of this medrash? Because if you're looking for something to complain about, you will succeed. If you're zoning in on the negativity in life, you will always be successful, even at Kiryas Yamsuf. It's a beautiful medrash. The medrash, so many layers, so incredible. Even at Kiryas Yamsuf, you will complain. Because when you're looking for it, when you're searching for it through the crevices, when you're trying to find it, you're always going to find it. You'll always be successful. There's always something to identify not to our liking. And that always is the challenge of life. That always is the challenge of life, is asking ourselves a question. What do we focus on? Are we zoning in on the negative, on a person, on an institution, on a place, on a situation? Or are we going to see things differently? And that's always a choice. Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, gave us that choice. It is honestly, unfortunately, it's very easy to focus on the negative. That's sometimes our natural position. But we need to work on it to ask ourselves, how do I flip the script? How do I ensure that I'm seeing things in a more positive light, which will bring my life a lot more satisfaction and a lot more light to people around us? There's this incredible poem called The Sculptor's Attitude. Great poem. Still haven't found the author. Maybe you can. Beautiful, beautiful idea. And please listen. I woke up early today, excited over all I get to do before the clock strikes midnight. I have responsibilities to fulfill today. I'm important. My job is to choose what kind of day I'm going to have. Today I could complain because the weather is rainy, or I could be thankful that the grass is getting watered for free. Today I can feel sad that I don't have more money, or I could be glad that my finances encourage me to plan my purchases wisely and guide me away from waste. Wow. Today I can grumble about my health, or I can rejoice that I am alive. Today I can lament over all that my parents didn't give me when I was growing up, or I could be grateful that they allowed me to be born. Today I can cry because roses have thorns, or I can celebrate because thorns have roses. Beautiful. Today I can mourn my lack of friends, or I can excitedly embark upon a quest to discover new relationships. Today I can whine because I have to go to work, or I can shout for joy because I have a job to do. Today I can complain because I have to go to school or eagerly open my mind and fill with rich new tidbits of knowledge. Today I can murmur dejectedly because I have to do housework, or I can feel honored because the Lord has provided shelter for my mind, body, and soul. Today stretches ahead of me, waiting to be shaped. And here I am, the sculptor who gets to do the shaping. What today will be like is up to me. I get to choose what kind of day I will have. Very beautiful idea. You can look it up, the sculptor's attitude. But it's always true. We always have that choice. And it's always easy sometimes to pick the negative choice. That's our natural reset. But we have that avoda, the ability to start saying, wait a second, I'm going to look for the positive. I'm going to have a more optimistic mindset. And I could do it. I could be upset that the roses have thorns, or I could be happy that the thorns have roses. half full, half empty. And it's with everything in life. It's always a choice. And we should start catching ourselves. I'm jumping to the negative. I'm looking for that. I'm that Jew going through Kiryas Yamsuf and complaining about my muddy shoes. I say, wow, it's Kiryas Yamsuf. Wow, look at everything in my life. I'm going to focus on that positive. And we see over here, source number 10, Amar Lahem, Se'uru Ezu Derech Yishal Yidbak Ba'adam. So now, last time we'll ask for participation. Who said this to whom? This is the Mishnah novels. Who's speaking to who? I apologize. I left out the author of this Mishnah. But a good chance. Anybody know who's talking to whom? This comes from Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel in Prike Avos. Anybody know? Who's talking here? He says to them, who's he? Who's the Bucky in Prike Avos? Does anybody know? Okay. All right. All good. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. The great Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great sage who had the vision and wisdom when he was granted a request from the Roman general as Bais Sheni was about to be destroyed. He said, Tain li Yavne v'chachmea, give me the city of Yavne and the sages. Because he knew that without Torah, our nation would not flourish, would not survive. He told his students, go out and see, Ezi derech yishara sheyidvat ba'adam. Give me a good path that a person should cling to. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, ayin tova. A good eye. So what does that mean? Look at the Rambam, please. Perish Mishnah of the Rambam. Ayin tova, what's a good eye? Haistapkut b'mashiyish la'adam. Being satisfied with what you have. Mimalos hamidos. Says the Rambam, it's the most virtuous of the midos. It's incredible. Really articulating, really identifying what we have. I'm happy. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you blessed me with health, with family, with friends, to go to this incredible university, to be part of this vibe, the experiences I've had, to be a yid, to see where I'm holding in life. Thank you, Hashem. But to identify it, not just lip service, to really think about it, to let it sink in, to internalize it, let it go from the mind to the heart in a very real and deep way. To say, to have an ayin tova. So grateful. Thank you, Hashem, for everything I have. To have that positive attitude. Of course there are challenges, and of course there's blocks in the road. But to have that ayin tova, to always really say, thank you, Hashem, for the overpouring of blessings. So to go from identifying that negative attitude, shifting away, and then having a positive attitude. Grateful for everything I have. And to have an ayin tova, I would say, about the people in our lives. Whenever we look at people, we look at family, we look at friends. Sometimes what do we focus on? The negativity. We look at their challenges. Let's look at their strengths. We could look at either one. We could look at their strengths, see how incredible they are. And if they have challenges, to say, maybe, okay, we all have our struggles. Not for me to judge. That's between that person and Hashem. I'm going to focus on the strengths. I'm going to focus on their beauty. And that lifts the person up, and it lifts us up as well. To really develop that positive attitude, have that ayin tova. And to take it one step further, the great Rav Kook, the great chief rabbi Rav Kook says, in a beautiful poem, not only to stay away from the negativity, not only to look at the positivity, but to proactively increase positivity in this world. Al kein atzadiki matahorim. What should we aspire towards? What is something that we should really try to go for? Ein kobli malachoshech. The great tzaddikim, they don't complain about darkness. Elamosifim or, they increase light. Wow. Ein kobli malarisha, they don't complain about evil. Elamosifim tzedek, they add justice. They increase justice. Ein kobli malakfir, they don't complain about heresy. Elamosifim emuna, they add faith. Ein kobli malabaros, they don't complain about ignorance. Elamosifim chachma, they add wisdom. Beautiful. To take that Rav Kook approach, which could profoundly change our lives, whenever we see a shortcoming, we can complain and kvetch and moan. That is one approach. It's easy, it's convenient, but it leads to nothing. We could say, how do I make it better? How do I proactively add more light, more energy, more optimism into that situation? It's easy to complain. The real avodah of life is to create a positive, optimistic solution. And that's what we see from this incredible, incredible Rav Kook. So to tie it all together, to conclude, this is a great chevra, to conclude. So remember from that beginning of what allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to be the leader. What started it all? With less than 2 weeks to Pesach. What started it all, as Rav Broid said, was so beautifully, his thirst for knowledge. He wanted to see more. He turned around to see. He didn't rest on his laurels. I'm 8 years old. That lifelong thirst for growth is what allowed him to be the Manig Yisrael. That's what allowed him to have divine revelation. And I'll be very honest and very, very open and talk in a sincere way. Everybody in this room, Mirtzah Hashem, you're going to be the leaders of your family, the driving force. You're the engines. That's a fact. You're the engines. You are the engines of the families, the driving forces. So think about that. To have a growth mindset could change you and Mirtzah Hashem, your families one day. Mirtzah Hashem, the Nashim Tzidkaniyos are the driving force, will motivate Mirtzah Hashem, your husbands and your children and your communities to always push forward. We know the Gemara tells us that we were redeemed because of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos. And that's the driving force. So to develop that now, that thirst for knowledge and for growth, to let it be part and parcel of who we are, building blocks for the future, for our future families, future leaders of the communities. And to Mirtzah Hashem, not go into that trap, not go into that trap of complaining about the muddy shoes walking through the beautiful Yom Suf. But to focus on the positivity in ourselves, focus on the positivity to everyone around us, and to actively seek to bring light, joy, and energy and optimism to everybody around us. Have a great night.